They carved through permafrost, deserts, and empires, built by dynasties, prisoners, and visionaries. These aren't rivers, they're canals, human shortcuts that changed the world. You've heard of Panama and Suez, but the ones you don't know might surprise you even more. Some were dug by hand, others were cut through continents. A few were built for trade, others for war, and every one of them reshaped the world. This is the story of the 10 canals that moved the world. And we begin not with the most famous one, but with the most haunting. In the far north of Russia, where the forests stretch for miles and the winters bite deep, lies a canal not carved by ambition, but by fear. The White Sea-Baltic Canal was one of Stalin's first megaprojects. Officially, it linked the Arctic Ocean to the Baltic Sea. But in practice, it was a prison disguised as infrastructure. Built in just 20 months from 1931 to 1933, the 227-kilometer canal was dug mostly by hand, by as many as 126,000 Gulag prisoners at its peak. Picks, shovels, wheelbarrows, little machinery, little rest. Just bare hands and frostbitten labor. It was so rushed that only 48 kilometers needed actual excavation, the rest diverted rivers and lakes. The canal was supposed to be 5.4 meters deep. To save time and money, it was cut to just 3.5. The materials, logs, rocks, earth, even the sluice gates were wooden, custom designed to hold back water without concrete or steel. Official Soviet records claimed around 12,000 deaths. Modern historians say it was likely closer to 25,000. Either way, the canal wasn't built with ambition. It was built with blood. The final product worked, but barely. Too shallow and narrow for modern shipping. Too fragile for commercial success. It peaked in 1985 with 7 million tons of cargo. Today, just a few hundred thousand tons, mostly local barges. No supertankers, no major freight, just quiet regional traffic. All this, nearly 230 kilometers of locks, dams, and dredged channels, was built for the modern equivalent of $429 million. A staggering achievement. Not because of how much it cost, but because of what it cost. The next canal took more than 2,000 and helped build a civilization. Stretching over 1,100 miles, the Grand Canal in China is the longest man-made waterway on Earth. A ribbon of water running from Beijing in the north to Hangzhou in the south, through 6 provinces, across 5 river basins, and into 2,500 years of history. Construction began in fragments as early as the 5th century, but it was during the Sui dynasty in the 7th century that it became an empire-spanning megaproject. More than 5 million workers were conscripted to carve the canal by hand, using primitive tools, forced labor, and monumental ambition. The cost wasn't just material, it was political. The burden of this project helped bring down the dynasty that built it. For centuries, the canal was the empire's lifeline, moving grain, soldiers, and information. At its peak, it transported more than 350,000 metric tons of grain annually on a fleet of 8,000 boats. It didn't just shape the economy, it unified China. Politically, culturally, and commercially. But here's what makes it truly revolutionary. This was the birthplace of the pound lock, invented in the 10th century by Song Dynasty engineer Chiao Weiyue. A pound lock is a chamber with gates at both ends, allowing boats to be raised or lowered between stretches of water at different levels. This breakthrough made navigating elevation changes safer and more efficient, and that same basic technology is still used in every major canal today. And today, it's still flowing. The Grand Canal remains a critical artery for inland shipping, irrigation, and tourism. Modern sections move over 75 million tons of cargo a year, more than many deepwater ports. But not all of it is navigable. Heavy silt and water shortages mean the stretch from Jinning to Beijing remains dry. Still, the canal is seeing a revival. Since 2022, it's maintained uninterrupted water flow for 4 years straight, a modern achievement for a 2,500-year-old system. And in 2025, China completed a massive water replenishment project, pumping 788 million cubic meters into its northern sections, 142% more than planned. Towns revived, barges returned, a civilization's backbone flowing once again. This isn't just a canal, it's a river of history, a monument to engineering, and a living thread that still weaves north and south together after 2.5 millennia. While China's canal runs through dynasties, this next one slices through Europe, quietly moving more ships than Panama or Suez, and yet barely anyone knows its name. In northern Germany, just below the Danish border, lies a canal that quietly moves more ships than the Panama and Suez combined. It's only 61 miles long, but for shipping, it's gold. The Kiel Canal links the North Sea to the Baltic, saving ships from the stormy 285-mile detour around Denmark's Jutland Peninsula. That shortcut saves up to 10 hours of sailing time, and as much as $100,000 in fuel per trip. Originally known as the Kaiser Wilhelm Canal, it was completed in 1895 under German Emperor Wilhelm I. Built by 8,900 workers, it took 80 million cubic meters of earth to create, enough to build a mountain. All of it was done for what would now be about $2.8 billion, an immense cost at the time, but a bargain considering the billions in fuel and time it saves every year. Though designed for warships, it quickly became a commercial artery. Today, it's the busiest artificial waterway in the world, handling around 32,000 vessels annually. That's a ship every 15 minutes, navigating bridges, speed controls, and tight passage rules. What makes it unique? It's a freshwater canal, reducing corrosion on ship hulls. It even has floating pontoon bridges and AI-powered traffic control systems managing the flow. In 2025, Germany completed the first stretch of a major upgrade, widening the canal to 70 meters, with straighter curves to accommodate larger freighters and withstand changing climate conditions. It may not be famous, but for Northern Europe, it's a lifeline. Our next stop, a desert lifeline built to bring water where nature never intended. Across the scorched deserts of Turkmenistan runs one of the longest irrigation canals on Earth, the Karakum Canal, a 1,375-kilometer lifeline carved through sand, dust, and time. Construction began in 1954 during the Soviet era, with bulldozers and drag lines pushing through dunes to turn wasteland into farmland. By 1988, the canal stretched from the Amu Darya River deep into the heart of the Karakum Desert, delivering water not just to fields, but to entire cities. Ashgabat, Turkmenistan's capital, grew rapidly once the water arrived. So did cotton, so did industry. But this transformation came at a cost. The canal loses up to 70% of its water through seepage and evaporation, a consequence of minimal concrete lining and an earth-cut channel across a scorching desert. Of the 13 cubic kilometers of water it carries each year, only 30 to 40% reaches its destination. The rest seeps away, or worse, contributed to the draining of the Aral Sea, one of the 20th century's greatest ecological collapses. The scale is staggering. Over 2 billion cubic meters of sand were moved to build it. Yet the canal drops only 183 meters from source to sea, making it one of the world's longest gravity-fed waterways. No pumps, just slope. It irrigates 1 million hectares, sustains 3 major cities, and powers 6 gas processing plants. But it also fuels salinization, creates unwanted salt lakes, and costs the economy an estimated $150 million a year in wasted water and degraded soils. Since 2019, Turkmenistan has taken steps to modernize. Concrete paneling on some reaches, satellite mapping of evapotranspiration, and digital flow meters. A 2023 plan aims to line 400 more kilometers and automate 1,200 gates. Locals call it the Karakum River because it rivals real rivers in flow. But unlike a river, this one was engineered, controlled. The Karakum Canal cuts through desert. The next one, through solid rock, and a 2,000-year-old dream finally carved into the cliffs of Greece. In southern Greece, where mountains meet the sea, lies one of the narrowest canals in the world, and one of the boldest ever attempted. The Corinth Canal slices just 6.4 kilometers, 4 miles, through the Isthmus of Corinth, connecting the Aegean Sea to the Ionian Sea, a shortcut through stone that saves ships from a 700-kilometer detour around the Peloponnese, but only if they're small enough. The canal is just 21 meters wide at the waterline, with vertical limestone cliffs rising 90 meters high, taller than the Statue of Liberty. No locks are needed, but the narrowness and tidal currents make navigation treacherous. The idea dates back over 2,000 years. Ancient tyrant Periander laid stone tracks to drag ships across. Julius Caesar considered cutting it. So did Alexander the Great. And in 67 AD, Emperor Nero tried to build it, using 6,000 Jewish prisoners from the Siege of Jerusalem. He even struck the first blow himself, digging with a golden spade. But the project collapsed after just 3 miles. It took until 1893 to finally finish, after 11 years of excavation, the removal of 12 million cubic meters of rock, and over 1,000 lives lost. The cost? Roughly $500 million in today's money. But its limitations soon became clear. Modern ships are too wide, too deep, or too long. Only vessels under 22.5 meters wide and 7.3 meters deep can fit. Less than 0.1% of the global merchant fleet. Today it sees around 11,000 vessels a year, but 70% are tourist boats. A handful of naval ships still squeeze through. And bungee jumpers dive from its bridges, 79 meters straight down. It's more fragile than it looks. Earthquakes, landslides, and erosion have forced multiple shutdowns, including a major closure in 2021. After repairs, it reopened in 2023, only to close again in 2024. Now it's operating once more with reinforced cliffs and a warning from nature itself. No shortcut stays stable forever. Corinth may be narrow, but this next one is deep with history. Dug through dictatorship, powered by political prisoners, and now a lifeline for a region at war. Near the shores of the Black Sea in the far east of Romania runs the Danube Black Sea Canal, a waterway that reshaped inland trade and carries the weight of a complicated past. At just 64 kilometers long, it links the Danube River to the Black Sea, slicing 250 nautical miles off the journey for ships headed to global markets. It transformed Constanța from a local port into one of Europe's busiest, opening the sea to landlocked countries like Austria, Hungary, and Serbia. But like others in this series, the story begins in darker times. In 1949, under communist rule, Romania launched the canal using forced labor from political prisoners. Over 40,000 were sent to work camps, beating rock into submission with picks and shovels. Between 5,000 and 20,000 are believed to have died. It was nicknamed the Cemetery of the Bourgeoisie. The project stalled in 1953. When it restarted in 1973, it was completed with Soviet machinery and civilian crews, and finally opened in 1984. The scale was staggering. Over 300 million cubic meters of earth removed, twice the volume excavated for the Suez Canal. The waterway features four locks, dozens of bridges, and two main branches to nearby ports. It's 85 meters wide, 7 meters deep, and can handle 5,000-ton ships, a river-sea hybrid built for speed and efficiency. And it's never mattered more than it does now. When Ukraine's Black Sea ports were attacked, this canal became a grain bridge to the world. From 2023 to 2025, more than a third of Ukraine's agricultural exports flowed through Constanța, keeping global markets fed through a Cold War-era shortcut. Today, over 30 million tons of cargo pass through annually, grain, oil, scrap metal, fertilizer. Romania earns 30 million euros a year in tolls and port services, and Constanța now handles more freight than any other Black Sea port. Today, the Danube Black Sea Canal is entering a new digital era, with AI-managed locks and real-time monitoring reshaping how goods move across borders. In Europe, canals like this have long connected nations. But in America, one canal didn't just connect. It helped build the nation itself. Welcome to the Erie Canal, where a hand-dug ditch through the wilderness changed the course of a continent. It started as a wild idea: dig a canal 363 miles through forests, swamps, and mountains to link the Hudson River to the Great Lakes. Most people laughed. They called it Clinton's Ditch. But in 1825, the Erie Canal opened and changed the future of a young nation. Built mostly by hand, with pickaxes, shovels, and horse-drawn scoops, it rose nearly 600 feet through 83 stone locks and crossed rivers on massive aqueducts. Over 50,000 laborers, many of them Irish immigrants, dug year-round, battling swamps, disease, and dangerous rockwork. It cost $7 million, about $145 million today, and paid for itself in less than 10 years. And the impact? Massive. Buffalo exploded from a hamlet of 200 people to a city of 20,000. Farmers in the Midwest could ship grain to New York Harbor in days instead of months. Goods flowed west, wealth flowed east. New York City became the gateway to America's interior, and the canal became the blueprint for more than 4,000 miles of waterways built across the U.S. in just 25 years. At its grand opening, a ceremonial barrel of Lake Erie water was poured into New York Harbor, the Wedding of the Waters. Today, the Erie Canal is still part of the New York State Canal System. Barges and kayaks glide where cargo once floated. Hikers follow the old mule paths. In 2025, critical repairs to embankments and locks were completed, extending the navigation season for its 200th anniversary. This canal didn't just connect two bodies of water, It united a country. The next one? It still holds the entire world economy in its hands. In the deserts of northeastern Egypt lies one of the most strategic waterways on Earth, the Suez Canal. It's just 120 miles long, but this narrow strip of water connects the Mediterranean to the Red Sea, linking Europe and Asia without the weeks-long journey around Africa's Cape of Good Hope. And today, it carries over 12% of all global trade. That's millions of barrels of oil, grain from Ukraine, electronics from China, all threading through a canal so narrow that the world's largest ships have only meters to spare on either side. The modern canal opened in 1869, the vision of French diplomat Ferdinand de Lesseps. But the real story was built in blood. Tens of thousands of Egyptian laborers died, digging under brutal heat, swamps, and disease. It's lock-free, built at sea level, but it's far from simple. Winds, currents, and tight turns challenge even the most experienced pilots. And in 2021, the world saw just how fragile that system really is. The Ever Given got stuck sideways, and global trade froze. Over 400 ships backed up, losses hit $9 billion a day, and satellite images showed a traffic jam stretching from sea to sea. Since then, Egypt has expanded and deepened key sections. In early 2025, a new 10-kilometer bypass near Little Bitter Lake opened, giving space for 8 more ships per day and, crucially, room to maneuver in future emergencies. The Suez Canal remains a geopolitical pressure point. It's been nationalized, blockaded, and even fought over in wars. And in 2023, it generated a record $9.4 billion in revenue, proving it's not just a passage, it's a lifeline. Today, more than 20,000 ships pass through every year, nearly one every half hour. And while much of the world sees it as a shortcut, Egypt sees it as sovereignty. The Suez may be famous, but it's flat. This next canal, it climbs step by step, a staircase for ships rising past one of the greatest natural barriers on Earth. The Welland Canal lifts vessels nearly 100 meters, more than 300 feet, between Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, allowing them to bypass one of nature's greatest obstacles, Niagara Falls itself. First opened in 1829, this canal has been rebuilt 3 times to keep up with bigger, heavier ships. The current version, completed in 1932, uses 8 colossal locks to lift massive Seaway-Max freighters, some over 220 meters long, step by step through a concrete corridor that once seemed impossible to navigate. It's not just impressive, it's essential. This canal forms a critical part of the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Seaway, one of the most important inland shipping systems in the world. Grain from the prairies, steel from Hamilton, coal, ore, manufactured goods. It all passes through here on its way to the Atlantic and beyond. More than 3,000 ships make the journey each year, carrying over 40 million tons of cargo, valued at more than 40 billion Canadian dollars. A full trip through the canal can take up to 10 hours, as ships rise and fall like elevator cars in water. And every spring, after a frozen winter pause, the canal reopens, drained, repaired, and recharged for another season. It's an event, watched by locals, loved by ship spotters, marking the rhythm of trade in this part of the world. Here, massive ships pass under towering lift bridges, float through gravity-fed locks, and climb toward the Great Lakes like clockwork. Not by brute force, but by timing, physics, and the quiet power of rising water. And finally, we end our journey where oceans collide. A canal that cut a continent in half, reshaped global trade, and became one of the most ambitious megaprojects in human history. The Panama Canal connects the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, slicing across the isthmus to eliminate the 8,000-mile detour around Cape Horn. What once took weeks and claimed countless lives can now take just 8 to 10 hours. But this shortcut came at a massive cost. The French tried first in the 1880s. They failed. More than 20,000 workers died from malaria, yellow fever, and catastrophic landslides. Then came the Americans. Between 1904 and 1914, they battled swamps, disease, and solid rock to complete one of the greatest infrastructure feats in human history. The result? A 50-mile water bridge across a continent, powered not by engines, but by gravity and rain. At its heart lies Gatun Lake, an artificial body of water held in place by what was then the largest earth dam on Earth. As ships rise and fall through giant lock chambers, they're lifted by the force of millions of gallons of fresh water flowing down from Panama's jungles. Today, the canal moves 14,000 ships and over 250 million tons of cargo every year, about 5% of global maritime trade. A ship traveling from New York to San Francisco saves nearly 10 days and up to $450,000 in fuel and crew cost by cutting through Panama. In 2016, a $5.25 billion expansion added a new lane, the third set of locks, big enough for new Panamax ships. And in 2025, better water management helped boost daily transits by 30%, a lifeline for global supply chains stretched thin by larger vessels and tighter margins. But this canal is more than locks and lakes. It carved through rock, rainforest, and geopolitics. It was once a colony, then a flashpoint. It helped win wars, spark revolutions, and define a nation. Panama regained control in 1999, turning a foreign megaproject into a symbol of national pride and its single biggest source of revenue. Even today from orbit, you can trace the cut of the canal through a green spine of rainforest. These canals moved empires, shaped economies, and carved paths through everything from glaciers to deserts. Which of these canals surprised you the most? And which one do you think has the biggest impact today? Let us know in the comments. Thank you for watching it. And if you want to keep exploring the world's most extreme mega projects, subscribe for more mega build stories and join us for the next one.